Open our hearts so that we may know you better. Open our lips so that we may tell your story. Amen. And Kingdom Kids may head to class.
And those of you who have been with us over the last couple months know that we're in a study of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and today we're turning to chapter 30. And if you turn a couple of pages, you'll see there's not a whole lot more of Deuteronomy left. We're coming near the end of this. So Deuteronomy 30 is our passage today, and our reading will begin at verse 11. Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 11, this is God's word for us. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's where we'll end our reading of God's word this morning. Linda and I often enjoy, and we're hoping maybe this afternoon even, to take a hike somewhere in this beautiful weather today. We tried it yesterday and found the trails were all icy yet. That was not so good, but maybe today. But we like to take walks in a lot of different places, and as we think about retirement coming up, we're hoping to do a whole lot more of that and hoping God gives us the strength and capacity to do that. So anyhow, we take a lot of different walks, and most of the time when we go out to do that, we like to have a map in hand that shows exactly where the trail is going, or some places where we hike around our area here have nice maps that will tell you at every junction in the trail, this way to that point, and so on, and it's really helpful to have those maps. A few years ago, on a Sunday afternoon, we actually got in trouble in the Allegan Forest. We started out at the trailhead, and they didn't have a little map we could take, but we looked at the big map board that they had and thought, well, that hike around that pond is just a few miles. That ought to be a good one for us for that afternoon. And so we took off down the trail, and we're going on and thinking, this is really good. This is great. Such a beautiful afternoon, having such a wonderful time. And then it was like 2.5 hours later, and we'd not yet gotten back to the car. We're thinking, uh-oh, we must have missed a turn here somewhere. And then we started to panic a little bit. We're thinking, okay, it's going to get dark eventually, and what will we do then? And then we're also remembering, oh, we had an engagement in the evening for which we needed to be back as well, and our cell phones weren't working out there in that part of the forest either. I thought, how could this have happened? You know, we've skied these trails so many times in the past. We've hiked these trails, and we were just doing this little loop thing, and where in the world are we? And we began to feel a little bit desperate, and Linda's always more desperate than I am. I can say that because she's not in the room right now, but And suddenly, as we were standing at a crossing with one of the seasonal roads out there, and if you've ever been out in there, you know some of those are not very good roads. They're sandy and they have water pits and things in it. This car comes bombing along, splashing through the puddles, and there was this young couple in the car, and they stopped. And they looked at us and said, "Are you guys like lost?" We're like, yeah, we think so. And they don't know why they were out there. They were on the way from the laundromat to their home. Figure that one out. But their car was loaded full of stuff. But they said, "We'll shove this over. You guys get in. We'll bring you back to your car." And they did that for us. And we were so blessed by that because it turns out we were probably about 4 miles yet from our car. And I don't know how this happened. But here's the thought about this. In our lives, God leads us along a trail for which we can follow him. And we don't always know exactly where that trail is going to lead. And sometimes we get distracted and make wrong turns in it. But God is one who is always along with us on the journey. And when we get off track, sometimes he sends some great people along to help us get back on track again. But the wonderful news is that God will always lead us to the place that he wants us to be if we're just willing to follow. And I believe that that's part of the message that Moses was giving to these people on this day as he was speaking to them. And I think that that's an important thing for us to think about too as we think about an impending transition here at the church as I'm not going to be here anymore, but God continues to lead. And we don't yet know who the next pastor will be. We don't yet know all the different turns in the road that God may bring. But we have this truth that we hold before us today, that God holds our lives in his hands and that he has a pathway for us to follow. And that in the midst of that, he will guide us and he will also bring great people along as companions with us on that journey. So let's think about that as we look at this passage this morning. In this passage, in verses 11 through 14, Moses is standing up before the people, and he says this very simply. He says, "Friends, this is not rocket science." Is that what he said? That's kind of a loose translation of what he said, okay? The first thing he says is, "This is not too difficult." And I think it's important for us to remember that when we think about Scripture, that this is not a difficult thing for us. Sometimes, you know, you start to get the impression that only somebody who has seminary training can do biblical instruction for us. And, you know, I have learned some of the greatest truths of the Bible from people who maybe had only a sixth grade education. You know, a lot of those older folks who we used to know, people who were our grandparents' age and so on, they didn't have much education. But man, some of them knew the Bible and they could teach you so much about it. And so God's word is not so difficult that we cannot learn what God wants in our lives. I think there's often been a misunderstanding about that. You go back into the first century of the church, and there was a group of Christians at that time who get addressed in some of the New Testament letters who are known as the Gnostics. That's a word that has a G on the end. It's a silent G, but it's taken from the Greek word gnosis, which means wisdom. And these were people who kind of set themselves up in the church and said, "You know, we're a little smarter and more enlightened than the rest of you. And the rest of you, your Christian faith is just not as good because you don't have this special knowledge that we have." Well, that's such a crock. I mean, really? For anybody to say we are better than others because we have more understanding than somebody else, no, that's really not true at all. Even a baby Christian with the understanding that they have enough to say, "I know I need Jesus," is one who's very blessed by God. And I read the comment once by an eminent theologian by the name of Karl Barth, and I looked it up this week because I thought, when did he actually say that? When did he say that? He's quoted as having said this in 1962. He was asked, what is the greatest theological statement that you would give to this audience today? His answer was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I've heard that statement before, and that's had a deep impression on me as well, and I think for us too. This is not something which is too difficult for us. This is pretty simple stuff. So Moses says, it is not too difficult for you. He also then goes on to say, it's not beyond your reach. Sometimes my oldest son, Joe, teases me a little bit about reach. Most of you have met him. You know he's like this much taller than I am. And there are things that we do together sometimes, like we go kayaking together, and we have racks on top of our cars where we keep our kayaks, and I pull out my ladder to get my kayak up on the car, and Joe will say to me, Dad, what's with the ladder? Just look, all you have to do is lift it up and put it up there. Yeah, it works for you. Doesn't work that way for me, okay? Reach. How far can we reach? And the point that we want to understand is that God has shown us again and again that the truths of his word are not beyond our reach, that they are within reach for us. And we can add to that in the New Testament thoughts like this that Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:14, that Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier. And what he's saying to us there is that all those things that once may have stood between us and God have been removed so that it is within our reach. We don't have to stretch that far. It's within reach. And the third thing that he goes on to say, which seems a little complicated in this passage, that you don't have to send somebody up to heaven to get what this truth is. You don't have to send somebody across the sea. And people have been trying to figure out for a long time what Moses is talking about there. And the best explanation is that there is a Sumerian mythology which precedes the writing of the Bible of a guy named Gilgamesh. Y'all going to name a grandchild that name? Doesn't that sound cool? Gilgamesh. No? You don't like that name? I don't like it either. But the thought is that Gilgamesh, in the Sumerian mythology, went on a search for God. And he wandered far and wide and up mountains and down into valleys and all different places and across the sea and had this epic adventure on the sea of almost being shipwrecked and so on. And he didn't find God. And so the thought here is, yeah, you can go searching far and wide, high and low, but you don't have to do that. And so Moses in this passage then comes back to this statement in verse 14, no, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. The word is very near. And that's a thought that gets given to us again and again throughout Scripture. And I want to just add one more passage to that. We read from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 19. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth so that you can speak it. And we have some opportunity this morning. We're doing that Deuteronomy 6 passage. We can speak this word. We, unlike the people in Moses' day, have the opportunity to read it, to hold it in our hands. We have the opportunity to be a people who can hear, who can hold this word, and who can have it implanted in our hearts. And this is what Moses says to the people then. It's not out there. It's not hard for you to receive it. It is yours to take and to hold in your lives. And how important it is for us to have this word of God in our lives and something that will bring blessing to us. So then in verse 15, Moses goes on and says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." And he says to us, we get to make a choice. I read those words, "I set before you," and I think, you know, that sounds kind of like a banquet table being set. And I love it when people set out lots of foods and we can pick and choose what we want and so on. And a thought that was in my mind as I was working on this sermon was a week and a half ago. I was at the Zealand Classis meeting, and we were up at Rusk Christian Reformed Church north of Zealand up there. And unlike you poor deacons who just have to come for the diaconal meeting, and I don't know if they give you a cookie when you do that, they give us dinner when we come for classes meetings. And they laid out this wonderful dinner. There was salad, and there were baked beans, and there were au gratin potatoes, nice cheesy potatoes, and there was pork, and there was chicken, and buns, and just all these different things, and we could have as much as we wanted. And I'm thinking, as I'm looking at that, kind of this life and prosperity thing, this is good, and food was delicious. And then after I'd eaten, I came and looked at the dessert table, and there were homemade pies and cakes and slices of all that out there. And then as I'm looking at that, I'm hearing my doctor's words in the back of my mind, "Sugar is your enemy." And I looked at that table, and I thought, death and destruction. And I went back and got some more salad and meat for my dessert. It's as simple as that. I mean, that choice is becoming clear to me because of my doctor's admonitions, but can this choice to follow God's will in our lives also be as simple and clear as that? Yes, it can be. And it is our choice to say, I will follow what God wants in my life. Not doing my own thing, not just being reckless, but I will follow what God is calling me to do. And so it can indeed be that simple for us. But I also want us to recognize that this is not just making kind of a mental choice that we click that off and say, yep, I'm following God. And that's why we had those questions for you this morning, Max. That last one especially talks about how you respond to that and the commitment that you make. Because this is not just a thing in our heads where we say, okay, I believe God loves me, good, I'm moving on, life moves on, and we don't change anything. It's a call to commitment in our lives. As verse 16 shows us in this passage, it is loving the Lord our God. It is walking in obedience to him. It is keeping his commands. And so we have this thought of taking this journey with God, having this walk with God in our lives. And it's a phrase that comes back oftentimes, like even in 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says there, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't always know where the path is going to lead on which God takes us. But if we follow him day by day, he gives us what we need. And sometimes I think it's frustrating for us, you know, we don't know the long range forecast of where God's going to take us. Do you ever think about that? Some of us wish we knew, you know, what's going to happen 5 years, 10 years from now. Some of you are just shaking your heads. No, you're just happy to have another day, right? And that's what's most important, that day by day we seek God's will and follow in his way. You know, if somebody had asked me 42 years ago if I thought I would be pastor of a Christian Reformed church in Allegan for the last 7.5 years of my ministry, I probably would have said, not likely, okay? For various reasons, which some of you know. But the amazing thing is that day by day, God unfolds his plan. And we came here 7.5 years ago, and we have recognized that in being here, God has put us in the center of his will. And it's been a good thing. It's something that we will celebrate for the rest of our lives to have been here together with all of you. This is God's way of showing us his pathway and helping us to walk in it. And so I think about that for all of our lives. We don't always know where God's path will lead, But we can be sure that in his providence, it will be good and that he will send faithful companions to support us on the way. Three things I want to think about in terms of this. It's important to recognize that. Number one, because sometimes following in God's path is going to put us in places where we and our things and so on can get threatened. And I'm hoping that that's not such a big threat for us as Christians in North America, but things could change in our lifetime. I think about my children, my grandchildren. I think about a little baby like this one sleeping so peacefully here right now. What will life be like by the time she grows to maturity? And I know that there are Christians in other parts of the world who simply because they have said, I want to follow Jesus, are separated from their families. That their homes are taken away from them or burned to the ground. That their churches are bombed. That they lose their jobs. That a lot of difficult things happen because they have said, I will intentionally choose to follow Jesus Christ. So it could be dangerous. It could also at some times make us look rather foolish, the second thing. You want an extreme case in point? Just go back into the early chapters of Genesis and read about Noah. Noah, who built this humongous ark in the middle of the desert. And for all those years that he was building it, probably every day had people come and laugh at him and say, what kind of business is this? Building an ark in the middle of the desert. Ha! But God had a plan, and Moses followed that plan faithfully. But a third thing is that following God's plan can lead us into some of the most surprising and wondrous things as well. And that's something which most of us can celebrate in our lives because we've been walking with God long enough to know that he does those things which are beyond our wildest dreams if we are only willing to step into his will. So this is the truth that we bring today, that God has a direction for our lives, that he will show it to us, sometimes only a day at a time, sometimes a little farther out, but that wherever he leads us is going to be a good place. Sometimes there will be dangers along the way. Sometimes we'll get distracted and we'll get off course and we'll need some redirection to get back. But God also sends faithful companions to help us in that journey. And that's what the church is all about. That's what this is all about in this place. Faithful companions who walk with us in the journey that God has given to us. So in this passage, we come down to a final point where Moses is saying, but you have to make a choice. What he says to us is that the default position, if we do not intentionally choose to follow Jesus, is that we will fall into death and destruction. And so he says, choose life. He says, now choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Hold fast to him and do not let go. And the truth of the Gospels as we turn to the New Testament is that in the same way, Jesus has called us to make that kind of choice. And our choice then is not to obey or disobey the law as specifically as it is to put our faith in Jesus Christ and to know that in Jesus Christ everything changes, that we become new creations. And Jesus would also say to us that choosing him is to choose life. And think about a couple of Bible passages from the Gospel of John in which he said on one occasion, I am the resurrection and the life. He also said, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Choose life. Choose life, not death. Choose life. And so hear these words from verse 19 once again. Now choose life. So that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Let's pray together. Father, as we have studied this word together this morning, we're praying that you would teach us through it, that we may all be a people who are ready to hear your word and to respond to it by saying, yes, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. I choose life. I don't want death, Lord. I want life. And help us, God, to live into this faith that we profess so that our lives, for now and forever, will be filled with a life that only you can breathe into them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.